Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Our text for today is the gospel lesson which has already been read from John 17, 1 through 11. I will not reread it. It's the last Sunday of Easter, so it's still fitting to say, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Today is the last Sunday. Next week, or the last Sunday of Easter, I should say. And next week, again, the answer to Jesus' high priestly prayer will take place as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, the coming of the promised Holy Ghost, who will appear as tongues as a flame on the disciples' head, enabling the proclamation of the gospel to those in Jerusalem in their own native tongue. And God will turn back the curse of the Tower of Babel for a moment for the hearer's sake. But today we are still in the full Easter joy of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we say, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Now in contrast to the beginning of his public ministry, Jesus tells, as he tells his mother at the wedding in Cana, my hour has not yet come. Now 3 years later, on the night that he will be betrayed, Jesus prays to the Father, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. And yet the kind of glory Jesus is talking about, we most often strive to hide our faces from. Our flesh can't see the true heavenly glory that Jesus receives as he suffers for our sins and dies for our death on the cross. In fact, our face shivers at the thought that we've been stuck with for the last 2 months of our own mortality right in our faces as we have been, well, scared to death of this virus, this pandemic that is going around. Some more scared than others, and some not scared at all. But you see, the eyes of faith see that the cross is the height of God's love. It is the victory over sin, death, and the devil that we celebrate this day as we continue this Easter joy. For the Lord has provided his mercy. And it is the glory of God as Jesus willingly gives of his life to save sinners like me and like you. And the Father glorifies the Son by raising him from the dead on the third day, just as Jesus had promised. And so we happily say, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. I'm trying to make up for the other Easters we've missed. Jesus' high priestly prayer is prayed on the night of his betrayal. And in fact, the entire chapter is Jesus praying to the Father for himself in verses 1 through 5, for the welfare of the disciples in verses 6 through 19. And finally, Jesus prays for all believers everywhere and every time, verses 12 through 26. That means you. That means me. But to those of the world, what Jesus is doing here is a waste of time. We have heard it. We have heard it repeatedly from various government officials that prayer is not helping this situation. I think it was Cuomo who said, prayer didn't lower the pandemic at all. 2 weeks later, he was calling whether God caused it or man caused it, which is bizarre that he would deny that God would have any interaction with prayer, but that God would possibly send this pandemic. Please don't turn to your politicians for your theology. We've been told that as science, apart from God and apart from faith, is the only answer to our problem that faces us. I've heard it. I think you've heard it. And we were told at the beginning, no people-to-people transmission by science. Then they changed their mind and said, oh, no, we were wrong. Please, it transmits that way. Then we were told it could last up to 2 weeks on hard substances. So please sanitize everything in the world that you ever touch. Now we're told, oh, it doesn't do that. Science is the only answer, is it? I'm sorry. Science is not Christianity's enemy. And science is doing the best it can. But it is limited. Please understand this. It is not your Savior. Jesus Christ is. Science is only applicable because the God who created everything out of chaos and gave it order, ordered all things for our good. And He has not pitted science against your faith at all. Because He has taken and given order out of this chaos, scientists are able to study things that are observable, verifiable, and reproducible, and discover things. And this is wonderful news for all of us. And Lord willing, by the grace of God and His intervention, through the skills and abilities of men and women who are working on this, we'll have a vaccine. Or it'll just go away. But whatever the case, we still have to face God. We still have to deal with our own mortality. We still have to face the concept that whether COVID-19 kills us, or a heart attack kills us, or a truck crash kills us, or a meteorite kills us, we're still going to die. And apart from faith in Jesus Christ, the result of that is damnation. The God we pray to, who Jesus is praying to, is the one who spoke order for our benefit. For those who believe that all we do as Christians is pray and hope things improve, I ask you to look around, to open your eyes, to pay attention, to look at your history, to learn a few things. For faith without works is dead. Schools, nursing homes, hospitals, all have Christian beginnings. Jesus is not just praying and then doing nothing, twiddling his thumbs on the Mount of Olives. He is praying, and then he is going to the cross to secure the salvation for those who believe. Faith without works is dead. So this prayer reminds us that Jesus has all authority over all flesh. So until his time has come, and he was willing, no human could harm him. They could not cast him off a cliff. They could not stone him. Jesus had to willingly lay down his life. And he does for each one of us. Now his time has come. And he knows he is going to the cross. There Jesus will suffer our punishment, dying our death, as he who knew no sin becomes sin for us, so that in him we could receive the righteousness of God. Knowing this is going to be overwhelming for his very disciples, he prays for them. Jesus asks that these disciples be united by faith in him. Oh, how we long for this unity. We desire it so much so that at times it causes us to accept fake unity, to ignore true differences, and accept a false peace, the kind of false peace that is forced upon us by our culture, our friends, and even our families. Yet whenever Christians ignore God's word, they only foster further division within the community and the church, and in turn diminish the Christian witness to Christ. Only God's words, through which the Holy Spirit works, can create true faith, can and will unite His church, and do give glory to Him, and enable his people to fulfill their callings in this sinful world. So Jesus is praying for the Father to keep his disciples faithful and to keep us faithful to his word as he prays for all disciples of all time. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. In this prayer, Jesus summarizes the two key points for all Christians. First, to know God is eternal. And second, to the knowledge of the true God cannot be separated from Jesus. He is the only access to such knowledge. For no one comes to the Father except through his Son, his only begotten Son. On this true knowledge of God, St. Bernard of Clairvaux writes, "Knowledge then is the fruit of faith, perfect charity of hope, understanding and love. That is, the knowledge of and delight in the truth are perhaps, as it were, the two arms of the soul with which it embraces and comprehends with all saints the length and breadth and height and depth. That is the eternity, the love, the goodness, and the wisdom of God. Only through the Son are we made aware of the love of the Father, which is why Jesus prayed, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." However, into this God-given unity comes those who are false teachers, who have abused this passage, using it to question whether Jesus is even true God or not, striving to bring doubt to the simple faith of the believers. These false teachers are seeking to do the devil's work. As the wolves in sheep clothing, as we heard in 2 weeks ago, only desire to devour true faith in Christ. And in response to such false teachers, St. Athanasius writes, "Now had Jesus been a creature, he would not have added this and ranked himself with the Creator. For what fellowship is there between the true and the not true? But as it is, by adding himself to the Father, he has shown that he is of the Father's nature. And he is given us to know that the true Father, he is true offspring." And John 2, as he learned, so he teaches this, writing in his epistle, and we are in the true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We are weak, so Jesus prays. "And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." Jesus prays for us because we are left in the world and therefore at risk. May we never forget this or become oblivious of the dangers around us or succumb to the siren songs of "all paths lead to heaven" or that science is our savior. The consequences of falling prey to the sinful world's wants and desires is to be no longer in Christ. And if not with Christ, if not with Jesus, then no longer with God. Jesus, though, protects us with his holy name that he places upon us. Our unity is his precious gift. The power to maintain it comes through Jesus, His intercession, His word rightly proclaimed, His baptism rightly administered according to His command, and His Holy Supper giving us His very body and blood to unite us as one body, joined to Him as the head, as we receive the one flesh. All of this being given for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. So Jesus prays for all His disciples that they may be one as we are one. So rejoice and be of good cheer, dear friends in Christ. Our Lord has left us this prayer to reveal to us how He intercedes for us even now, even in the face of this pandemic. And while He is no longer visibly present with us, Jesus abides in us through His word, His name, His revelation of divine glory, that we may be one with Him even as He is one with the Father. And as we continue to keep God's word by believing in the one He sent, Christ is glorified in us to the glory of God the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray without ceasing. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Oh, and by the way, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.